This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today on the origins of the species seekers, we'll hear about the dashing naturalists who risked their lives to catalog the natural world. Also, there's no escaping our continuing fascination with Harry Houdini and Apple's next move in the post-Jobs era. But first, an innovative prevention-centric model with a proven record for providing healthcare for Medicare patients. CareMore was launched 18 years ago and guided by the principle that you can fix a problem early on for a buck or fix it 10 steps later for 30. CareMore's focus on sharing patient information, rapid treatment of minor ailments, and high-tech patient monitoring help prevent procedures, expensive procedures, and it's profitable. By shifting from a fee-for-service incentive to collaborative, patient-focused care, elderly patients have shorter hospital stays, fewer catastrophes, and overall member costs of 18% below the industry average. CareMore was bought in August by WellPoint, provider to some 70 million Americans. Adrian Slavatsky is author of the new book, Demand, Creating What People Love Before They Know They Want It, an excerpt from his book about whether the CareMore model can be scaled up for the coming silver tsunami is in the Atlantic. Adrian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Virginia. Pleasure to be with you.
So what's the main principle of the CareMore model and what makes it so unique?
You know, I think that there are three fundamental principles that have been consistently applied. The first is put the patient first. Take care of the person and good things will follow. The second is shift your focus from repairing things to prevention. And the third, even though it's run by doctors, do whatever it takes, medical actions as well as non-medical actions, to take care of the entire person. If we have to help them get to an appointment, we'll do that. We want to combine sophisticated medicine, but also non-medical things that solve the problem for the patient.
Those principles came pretty much from its founder, Dr. Sheldon Zinberg. What motivated him to start CareMore?
It's a great question. I think it was a combination of three factors. I think the first was that in the 1980s, the growth of HMOs often intruded on the way physicians practiced care. The second thing was that Dr. Zinberg saw that, you know, the dominant fee-for-service system often led to more care, but not necessarily better care. And the third, as he observed patients and he specialized in working with the elderly, he so frequently saw that he and others were treating conditions or situations that were preventable if someone had just looked a few steps earlier. And he tried to think of a way to shift healthcare from fixing bad complications to preventing them in the first place.
So back in 1993, he launched CareMore's model. You illustrate this with stories of patients. Ellen from Anaheim, for example, she's an 82-year-old widow with a heart problem. Tell us a little bit about her.
Ellen is a classic example of a patient who suffers from congestive heart failure. And for those patients, you sometimes get a buildup of fluid in the lungs, and it's critical to find out as early as possible and to treat it as early as possible. In the typical case, that doesn't happen. A patient gets into trouble, they're short of breath, and they call the emergency room. CareMore provided Ellen with a wireless scale and asked her to get on that scale every morning. One day, when the scale showed that she had gained more than 3 pounds, the nurse practitioner immediately called her, sent a car to bring her to the clinic because her daughter was away, and immediately started treating her for that condition so that it wouldn't get worse. Not a very expensive move, but it made a tremendous difference in Ellen's life.
So to be a part of the CareMore plan, Ellen and others have to agree to be monitored, which brings in this notion of compliance. You mentioned a little bit earlier, a little bit about compliance. CareMore directly intervenes and directs patient compliance. Give us some examples of that.
CareMore understands that very many of the elderly, as many as 35 to 40%, live alone, and many of them don't get to their physician's appointments. And when that happens, that only leads to bad news further down the road. So one of the things that CareMore does is for patients who can't get to the clinic themselves, it will send a car for them. That costs money, but it's much less than preventing than the cost of the downstream complications. It also provides, not for everyone, but for patients with a history of congestive heart failure, the kind of wireless scale that makes it possible for the patients to weigh themselves every morning, and the clinic immediately knows whether they're in good shape or not. CareMore also now provides wireless cuffs for monitoring blood pressure, and that has helped reduce the blood pressure of many of their most sensitive patients. So there is a whole series of things that CareMore does under a simple philosophy. They say that non-compliance is our problem, not the patient's problem, and they go out of their way to make it easy for the patient to comply.
And these are the kinds of things that maybe used to be managed by families, you know, when families lived a lot closer together. You might remind your parent, your elderly parent, to take medications. You might be the one weighing them, making sure that they're eating okay. Is CareMore sort of filling in that gap?
It's a great, great point. Yes, they are. In many cases, the elderly frail live alone. Sometimes children live in the same city and, you know, can help take them to the clinic, but often that's not the case. So CareMore tries to recognize how their patients actually live and what they really need to make sure that they are taken care of in a timely fashion. So, yes, that's well put. A lot of things that families used to do because they lived together, now they don't. CareMore recognizes that and tries to adjust for that.
We're talking with Adrian Slavatsky, who wrote about one profitable patient-focused model for treating those normally regarded as the greatest drain on our healthcare system. That's elderly Medicare patients. Another story here, because they were just so extraordinary, the story of Dan. He's an 87-year-old retired letter carrier. Tell us a little bit about his case.
It's a very, very important example because Dan, 87 years old, had weak limbs. And many physicians can tell you in advance who are the patients who are most prone to a fall. And CareMore has documented that people who are elderly, who have weak limbs, who have toenails that are too long, whose prescription glasses may be off, and who may have obstacles like shag rugs in their apartments are very, very likely to fall. CareMore works systematically against each of those things. They bring Dan in two or three times a week for light weight training to put a little bit of extra strength into his limbs. They make sure that his toenails are trimmed at the clinic once a month. They ask him to get rid of his shag rug. And so even though Dan is at high risk of fall, not only has he not fallen, but CareMore's patients experience 80% fewer falls than comparable patients in other systems. Just a quick recap of what that means. Typically, a fall means 7 to 10 days in the hospital. It means another couple of weeks in rehab at a facility, and then it means a couple of months of painful rehab at home, all of it preventable. And I think that's the focus of the CareMore philosophy.
Now, also a similar model in wound clinics for people with diabetes, you know, treating the wounds quickly, leading to 60% fewer amputations. So we see here, you write about a 97% satisfaction rate, almost idyllic. But how does CareMore make a profit?
CareMore initially struggled, but by 2000, it had become profitable and has been solidly in the black ever since. CareMore makes a profit for the following reason. It is exclusively funded by Medicare Advantage, which is a program that pays CareMore a fixed price per patient depending on the risk level of the patient. What CareMore does is it studies very carefully who are the patients most in need of care and of prevention, and it concentrates the care there. And because it is so efficient, it has the ability to reinvest in things such as bring the patient to the clinic, in things such as wireless scales and wireless cuffs. And when you study the economics, if you concentrate on the most important and the most complex cases, and if you concentrate on prevention, the patients are dramatically better off, and you can become solidly profitable as a result.
CareMore was acquired by WellPoint, which operates Blue Cross and Blue Shield, now has some 34 million subscribers and 35 million more through subsidiaries. Now, how can this patient-focused model be scaled up to those kind of numbers, Adrian?
Well, there are two to two important and very positive dimensions here. The first is that CareMore has a very careful process of scaling up. It's careful on how it hires, and it has veterans working with new physicians in a new clinic, so it has a very systematic way of doing it. If you combine that with WellPoint's knowledge of physicians and of patients in many, many local markets, WellPoint's capital and WellPoint's quite extensive health information technology resources, I think the combination of those two will make it possible to expand the CareMore model much more quickly than it would have been possible had CareMore operated just on its own.
Well, it's a fascinating model, and Adrian, I really want to thank you for joining us today and telling us about it.
My pleasure, Virginia. Thank you very much.
Adrian Savlotsky is a partner at Oliver Wyman. That's a global consulting firm. The article in The Atlantic was adapted from his book, Demand, Creating What People Love Before They Know They Want It. You'll find a link to read the complete article at wordofmouthradio.org. And we're going to be back in just a minute with Life After Jobs. We'll be talking about Apple's next move. And we'll also be speaking with Siri. That's the desk assistant now included on the 4S iPhone, who has a pretty good sense of humor, I might add. That's when Word of Mouth returns on NHPR. And remember, you can always listen to us live on wordofmouthradio.org and listen to segments that we've already played and email them to your friends or sign up for a podcast. You can also sign up for NHPR's free iPhone app. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. We'll be back in just a minute.